Welcome back to Perfect Takes. I'm your host, Stephen Patton, joined as always by my co-host and dear friend, Jacob LaQuire. And today, we got the breakdown week one of the 2025 NFL season. And we're gonna start with the game that kicks off tonight. A lot of you guys who listen to this episode will listen to it knowing the results of tonight's game. But what I find interesting about this matchup is that the Eagles are coming off a Super Bowl victory, and the Cowboys just traded away arguably one of their best players on the team. Like, I don't know if you'd rank him necessarily above Dak and CD, but if you do, like, he would then be their best player. So I think when you look at the markets, everybody would expect this to be a mainly Eagles-dominated game. But what's interesting, and you have this written in the notes, Dak is 6-0 on Thursday Night Football. So, Jacob, are there any surprises we're going to see tonight on opening kickoff, or is this going to be kind of chalk in terms of the outcome?
I think as far as outcome goes, it's probably going to be chalk, right? Even before the Parsons trade, Philly was just the better team, right? It's at their home stadium, the Link. They're celebrating the Super Bowl victory. The team might not celebrate. They're doing a weird bit where it's like, oh, we didn't win the Super Bowl, it's a new season, even though they have pictures up when they lost the Super Bowl. So they can't let the stuff go in the past, but they can let go a win. Just weird bit. But I think they're going to win the spread, 8.5 currently in the Eagles' favor. That's where I'm a little bit iffy. I think the Cowboys could, like, backdoor cover, you know, score a late touchdown and make it a 6-point game or something. But I think Philly has the edge. You mentioned them trading away Parsons. I would say Parsons was the best player on the Cowboys, and without him, they're certainly worse. Their defense last year was already quite bad since Dan Quinn left to go to the Washington Commanders. Now their defense might be among the bottom 5 to 10 in the league, I would say. So I think that there's a big opportunity for a performance from guys like Saquon Barkley, AJ Brown, Devontae Smith to put up numbers. And I think the Cowboys are going to have to try to match that because they're going to be an offensive team this year. We talked about how they might be the NFC Bengals, but I don't think they ultimately can match it. I would like to see a shootout, though. Hopefully it's a good opening game. I kind of wanted it to be the Super Bowl rematch, which is what we're going to get in week two, but they went with the division rivalry game. So we'll have to see how this one turns out. But I think it's going to be the Eagles with the victory. How do you envision it? I'm sure you weren't thinking that the Cowboys have a chance here either, just to pull off the victory.
The backdoor cover is the only thing I think enticing when we talk about the Cowboys. If they do want to win this game, it's going to be because they exploit a thin secondary from the Philadelphia Eagles. Again, Reed Blankenship is probably their third best guy in the defensive back unit. And that's shocking because last year he was probably their worst. So when you see a guy like Darius Slay and CJ Gardner-Johnson leave, it puts a lot more on the younger guys who stepped up and played really well last year and were fundamental in them winning a Super Bowl. You see how much depth they lost on the defensive line. They don't have N'Kobe Dean back. It does look like Jahad Campbell is going to be good to go. So that'll be exciting to see him next to Zach Bond. But because of that, I think there are ways for this Cowboys offense to exploit this defense with George Pickens and CeeDee Lamb. And there are things they're going to be able to do that Philadelphia doesn't necessarily have any film on because the Cowboys haven't had these two on the field together. So that may give them an edge offensively. But when you go to the defensive side, it is hard to see how they're going to be able to stop this Philadelphia Eagles unit, which is going to probably be able to impose its will. Are you going to sell out to stop AJ Brown on the perimeter? Because if you sell out to stop the run, like, Jalen Hurts is a really good quarterback when it comes to just throwing 50-50 jump balls to his wide receivers. So I think it's a pick your poison from the Cowboys' defensive perspective, and which one they decide will ultimately, I think, sway how this game goes. But it the margins would have to be extremely, like, razor thin in order for the Cowboys to pull this off. So I think Eagles win. I think they win comfortably. Are we ready to dive in to the Sunday slate of games, or is there anything else you want to touch on between these two teams? I mean, it's still, like, I'm getting the jitters just thinking about, like, football starts tonight.
Yeah, as we're recording, it's going to be a couple hours when the game kicks off, and there was one more thing I wanted to touch on. You mentioned how there's not going to be a ton of tape to look at the Cowboys with CeeDee Lamb and another receiver. The last time we had that was probably 2021, right? When Michael Gallup was still healthy, when Amari Cooper was there and CeeDee Lamb was coming into his own. I would say as well, there isn't recent tape of Brian Schottenheimer, the head coach, calling plays. I think we go back to 2020 when he was in Seattle. I think that's the most recent time he was an offensive play caller. Now as a head coach, he's going to have a lot more duties like analytics, like go for it on fourth, have to hear the defense, that kind of thing. I think we talked about it a bit last week with some of the newer head coaches like Liam Coa and how he's going to have a lot more on his plate. Aaron Glenn's going to have a lot more on his plate. Schottenheimer is as well. It's certainly not a favorable matchup for your first head coaching game to be against the reigning champs, but that would be one thing I look at as well. Like some of the procedural stuff I think might take a hit just because we have a brand new head coach who's doing everything for the first time. Other than that, I wrote a little funny note that we learned Howie Roseman tried to trade for Micah Parsons. I don't think that was ever going to go down, but it's always funny to see him always be involved. And if Jerry was willing to send Parsons to the Packers, who are probably the most hated non-division team for Cowboys fans over the last decade, maybe he would have considered Philadelphia for Parsons if they had upped the ante. But luckily, we get Parsons in Green Bay. I think that's the first Sunday game that we're going to hone in on is the Green Bay Packers and the Detroit Lions.
And it's a good game to talk about because we're talking about a lot of great offensive minds, a lot of great players on both sides of the ball. And I know you're probably hesitant on saying offensive minds because we haven't seen Dan Campbell and John Morton together. We haven't seen this offense without Ben Johnson's hand in it. But there's just so much to analyze. If you're talking about the Packers offensively, I think they can lean into the run game. They can lean into play action and try to maximize Matthew Golden, their new wide receiver. And then when you look at the Lions offensively, as much as like the Packers are introducing Micah Parsons into this unit and he is going to be a disruptive force, I think something that would kind of set the tone is to just start running at Micah Parsons. Like, see what the defense does and see if you're able to leverage that to your advantage, because the Lions aren't one to shy away from the run either. I think that's one thing to monitor in this game is that this isn't necessarily going to be this aerial attack where quarterbacks are dropping back 30 plus times. This could be a game where they're slugging it out in the trenches and allowing these running backs to go to work. So I expect big games from Jahmyr Gibbs and Josh Jacobs, two guys I have a lot of investment in from a fantasy perspective.
Yeah, I was going to say from the Packers side of it as well that this could be a run-heavy attack. I know they're going to try to get Matthew Golden involved because he's the shiny new toy, right? First-round pick receiver. So I think he's going to get a lot of looks, a lot of manufactured stuff. But we're talking about the offense. I think Parsons being installed is going to be huge. And I think getting Aiden Hutchinson back and the rest of the defensive starters for Detroit is going to be big as well. One of the reasons last year that the division shook out the way it did was Detroit didn't lose in the division. They just beat everybody. And so I think that getting the defense back and facing probably a comparable defense from a talent perspective, the Packers probably have more invested talent, like a lot of first round picks, some older guys there. But I think ultimately it's closer than it appears. Just if you look on our lads and see all the first round picks and stuff, I'm really going to be focused on how Parsons looks, especially in the run game, because he's going to have better reinforcements, I think, with this defense as opposed to what he did with Dallas in regards to the run. And then I just want to see how Hutchinson performs as well. One of the things I was looking at when we were writing the notes about this game was with Ben Johnson gone, a lot of the gimmick stuff, the schematic stuff, I wonder if that's going to lend itself to Dan Campbell's aggressiveness and say, is he going to be less aggressive on fourth downs because he doesn't have like the trick plays in the arsenal to go for it? How do you feel that some of the fourth down stuff is going to play out without Ben Johnson there?
Wasn't it like Dan Campbell's like opening press conference where he said they were going to bite their opponent's kneecaps off or something like that?
That was him.
But I was wondering if that was like the first press conference. I know it came out of his mouth, but that's the tone he has brought since day one in Detroit. He's not going to shy away from that. And we talked about this, I think.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
When we talked about the playoff picture a couple days ago, the issue I don't think is necessarily with the Lions being like aggressive or staying true to their identity. It's that they're going to lose those trick plays that you just brought up. And it's not that they aren't going to find ways to convert and use different mismatches to their advantage on later downs. If you're talking about a fourth and two, a lot of times defenses are playing man coverage. They're selling out to stop the run if you're trying to hand it off to Jahmyr Gibbs. And they have guys like Jameson Williams and Amon-Ra St. Brown that can take advantage of those one-on-one opportunities. And that's not even talking about rookie Isaac Tesla, who might be able to kind of get in there on some of those 11 personnel looks. So you just have so much at your disposal to where I think the Lions are going to be able to do a lot of different things. And when you talk about a weakness that the Packers have, it's their secondary. And Micah Parsons is going to be going up against Penei Sewell. So I think in the run game, Penei Sewell has the advantage. And the pass game, Parsons will probably win a few more reps. But overall, I do think the Lions are going to be able to dictate and impose their will, just like they did last year against the Packers. So this is going to go in the Matt LaFleur's court. And this comes down to Jordan Love being the X factor. He wasn't that guy last year. Maybe you can write it off because of injuries or just other developmental things going on during that season. But I think he has to play better than he did last year in order for them to come out on top.
I'm with you there. I think the excuse me. I know how we said we can focus on the run game or like pay attention to the run game for both teams, the defensive ends returning for both teams. But I think it does have to come down to Jordan Love. He got that mega deal after half a good season in his inaugural season, we'll say, because he wasn't a rookie. But he has to play a bit better. He was inconsistent with injuries in and out of the lineup. But I think with the additions on the offensive line and with Matthew Golden, they're hoping he can be a bit better. If there's one thing about Matthew Golden, and I know I was a bit lower on him in the draft compared to where he was selected, he's like the perfect receiver for what LaFleur and Jordan Love want to do. He wants to throw over the intermediate and deep middle. And last year, Christian Watson wasn't very reliable with those. He wasn't on the field half the time, and sometimes he would drop them. It's one of the reasons why he didn't hit the ground running when Aaron Rodgers was there when he was a rookie, was because of the inconsistencies. So hopefully Golden can take advantage of what LaFleur and Jordan Love want to exploit, because I think he is going to be the X factor for this game. Right now, I think I have the Packers in this one, but I think it's going to be much closer than a lot of people think. I do think early in the season for the Lions, there is going to be a bit of the brain drain that we've alluded to this season, and that might catch them. But I think this could be like a, 28, 26, but I don't know how you get to 26 points off the top of my head, but a really close, high-scoring barn burner is something that I'm thinking might be the case here.
So it looks like the Packers are favored at 2.5 points. So if you pick the Packers on the spread, you're expecting them to win by 3 points, which I think is a lot considering we're talking about a team that's going on the road. This is a game that I don't think is in Green Bay. This is in Detroit.
I believe this is in Detroit because I was looking at it is in Detroit. Are you sure?
I believe so.
I think it's in Green Bay because Goff is playing outside, but it's warm. That's one of the things I was thinking about. Am I mistaken?
Okay, in our notes, hold on. Yes, it is. Okay, that's what
so I wrote it. Okay, I'm looking at the notes. That's on me. Okay. Yeah, but it is in Lambeau, and that's another thing to consider as well, that Jared Goff's not going to have to go here in December late in the season. That was just like an anecdote because, you know, he stinks in the outdoor cold environments. So I don't think that's going to play a huge, huge factor. But if you're giving the Packers the, what is it nowadays, 2 points for being at home, it's almost an even game, right?
I think that makes more sense. I thought this was in Detroit, and I was like, that spread makes like no sense if we're talking about this game being in Detroit. That makes a lot more, especially like you said, home field's around 2 points. This is a division game, high stakes. We're on the fence. The market's on the fence. I don't think you're wrong for choosing either side. And a lot of the points that we made, you can make for either one. And we're just going to find out on Sunday what like matters most at the end of the day, like what is going the triumph. And like we said, there's plenty of X factors, plenty of people that can step up, plenty of people that can make mistakes that'll cost the game. And that's what we'll be here to discuss on Tuesday. But the game, I don't know if I'm going to say game of the week, but it is.
I'll say it. Sunday night. I think it will be the game of the week.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. It's just the last time these two teams played in the regular season, it wasn't anything fun to watch. So I want to like skate around that. Like, it has the potential to be, but the Baltimore Ravens traveled to Buffalo, rematched the divisional round. And the Bills won the last time. Josh Allen won the MVP over Lamar Jackson. These are two quarterbacks that have won the last two MVPs. There's a lot at stake in week one for these two teams. And it's crazy that we're going to have playoff implications already after the first week. What is your main takeaway from this game? What do you think Todd Monken or Joe Brady have to do in order to elevate the team to put them in a position to win?
These two have played so many times that I feel like they're kind of familiar with each other. So I'm not sure that there are a ton of new wrinkles outside of like your free agent additions and your draft selections that you can throw at the other team. The thing I will say is that by the end of the year last year, a lot of injuries on both fronts, right? So at this point, we're as clean a slate as you can get for a lot of teams in terms of health. And I like the Ravens roster a little bit better. The last time they played in the regular season, like you alluded to, that was week 4 or 5, so pretty early in the season. And the Ravens defense was quite bad at that point. They're still adjusting, and they kind of blew them out. I think that was in Baltimore, though. So I don't know what to think of this game, given how the last time they actually played, it was the two-point loss, right? Mark Andrews drops the two-point conversion and doesn't go to OT or whatever because the Bills don't drive down the field. But it's going to be an interesting one. Hopefully it's fun. I think I slightly lean Ravens just because I think their team's a bit more complete. You know my thoughts on Allen and Lamar. They're like neck and neck. But I think the interesting part is going to be if there's any new wrinkles in the offense, because both teams brought back their running backs. Well, Henry wasn't a free agent, but they extended him. James Cook got extended. Like, everybody with Buffalo got extended on kind of Howie Roseman early extension deals. So I don't know. I just want to watch the two QBs duke it out, right? Maybe Lamar Jackson has a chip on his shoulder because he was AP first team All-Pro, but not MVP, right? Maybe Josh Allen has a chip on his shoulder to show that he can win against Lamar Jackson in the regular season and the Ravens in the regular season. I don't know. I'm just hoping that we don't get a ton of week one sloppiness and get two like masterclass offensive performances.
Week one, the Baltimore Ravens, let's just talk about how they typically like enter a season. And it's usually with fireworks. They beat the mm-hmm. teams that they're neck and neck with. Usually, obviously, they lose the Chiefs in week one last year. Isaiah Likely.
Another dropped. Yeah, or it wasn't a drop.
It was toe and bounce. Yeah. And it's like, it's just a game of inches. And like the Chiefs got away with a lot of those last year. So it's one of those things you can write off that like that. And then they'll lose a game to like the Raiders or whatnot. So it's that seems to be like how things play out early on. And so they're going to play up to their competition. Like you said, Lamar Jackson probably has a chip on his shoulder for not getting the MVP. And as much as the Bills are at home, they're coming off a lot of success last year and trying to build off that and hopefully get over the hump, which is Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. I just don't see it. To me, the Ravens being as healthy as they are, what they've done on defense adding, and then Zach Orr getting better down the stretch, it just seems like this team is coming into a rare enough like air to where it's like almost like the San Francisco 49ers back in 2023, where they can do whatever they want on offense. Their defense is going to suffocate you. And it's just, do you have the ability to go punch for punch with them? And Josh Allen has the ability to, we've seen it. I think there's going to be enough newness on the Ravens that it's going to counteract whatever the Bills bring to the table. So like, again, I don't know if we're going to see a great game. I could see the Ravens running away with this one and making a statement in week one.
And quietly last year, how the Ravens defense grew throughout the year, the Bills kind of declined a little bit. They reinforced that with a lot of draft picks, but Maxwell Harrison, their first round corner, isn't going to play. Trey White, who they signed to kind of be depth, we don't know if he's going to play either. They just lost a rotational nose tackle for the season. I don't recall the injury, but I think, like you're saying, the Ravens team is more wholly equipped. I'll say I like the Bills offensive line better. I think they're probably, I don't want to say they're more diverse in the run game because Lamar Jackson's just a unique runner, you know? But I tend to lean Baltimore as well. I guess what I would look at is the both defenses, right? It is week one, so there will be mistakes, but we gassed up after the draft the Baltimore Ravens secondary, not just their whole defense, but the secondary in particular with how many pieces they added. Malachi Starks is there now. One of the Packers guys that we were talking about, they don't have a good secondary anymore. Jaire Alexander is now the third corner for Baltimore there.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
So I think they have a lot of tools at their disposal. I don't know if I'd put them in 2023 49ers yet, because that was like an all-time offense team, but I think they have the potential to really be a team that just blows teams out in the regular season. And I think both of us on Tuesday said Baltimore was our one seed. I know I did. I think you did as well. And if they're going to be the one seed, these are the kind of games with tiebreaker implications that they have to win. So I think at the end of the day, I'm going to lean Baltimore. I believe Buffalo's favored. Before the season started, like, because we're at the start of the season, before the season started, they were favored in all 17 games. I don't know if that's still the case, but I would imagine being at home, they're the favorite. A Baltimore money line is something that might interest me. I don't know, but I think I'm just going to lean Baltimore for this one.
I believe the odds have shifted in the last little bit to favor the Ravens. And I think that's just because the market, I think it's along the premises of a lot of what we're talking about. Like, these two teams are at full strength right now. They're fully healthy coming off an off season. And there's just too much to like about this Ravens team. Everybody has them at like number one in most of their power rankings. And that's analytics people. Those are people that just watch film. And then those are the pundits. And so
would you say that the Ravens are the most complete team in the league right now? Like, best roster?
Top to bottom? I mean, probably. I mean, you could probably see there's a blue chip player. Even including the coaching
staff too. Like, I think they're up there. And so I think that's kind of reflecting in the market, like you're saying.
And so it's just all of that together. It's like, I'm not going to hate on the Bills and say they're a bad team or that they can't compete in this. It's just, there's a lot that has me concerned of the Ravens could just run away with this. And they'll be very happy to do so because they have reason because of January. And then it's like, that could create its own cycle because that happened in Baltimore, last September, last October, like, Ravens steamroll the Bills, and then the Bills use that as kind of this mm-hmm. juice and gas throughout the season, and then use that to beat them in Buffalo. So so many different implications from this game, but the game that's going to have our attention as Panthers fan,
the real game of the week,
and really set the mood for that Sunday night game, because I'll tell you what, I'm going to be feeling a certain way based on how that 1 o'clock game goes. We play the Jacksonville Jaguars, and just like 2003, just like 2015, we open the year against this team that we came into the league with, the two millennial franchises, if you will, of the NFL. And it's fascinating to see that both teams have so many parallels. They have head coaches that were offensive coordinators, first-time offensive coordinators with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers before getting their head coaching gigs. Both starting quarterbacks were first overall picks. Both teams have kind of been a disappointment over the past half decade, despite a lot of draft capital going into both sides of the ball. And so, Jacob, despite all the injuries that we have going into week one, what is our optimism? What are we hoping is going to happen on Sunday that will lead us to victory and set the stage for a Super Bowl run? Because that's where my mental health rests, Jacob. And I need that hope, Jacob. So tell me, Ike Ekwonu's out. Like, I'm just writing it off. Like, coming off an appendectomy, like, my girlfriend had an appendectomy. She was not okay for like the next 2 weeks. Like, after the first week, she was functional. Like, the fact that he's out there and practicing is impressive. But like, you consider weight loss, you consider just like reps loss, you consider energy. Like, he's gonna be out. And then some of the other guys, like, we have Hunter Renfrow starting. Like, that wasn't the expectation a month ago. So what should we be hoping happens Sunday?
We should be hoping for a win, and there are a couple of paths to that, I believe. Some of us thought Hunter Renfrow would be on the roster, but that's neither here nor there. I think it's going to start on offense, right? The Jaguars were one of the worst defenses in the league. They weren't as bad as us in a lot of regards because, again, worst every defense. But surprisingly, they were worse as a pass defense than the Panthers were. They allowed the most passing yards. They were horrific at getting to the quarterback, both sacks and pressures. Last in the league in sacks, last in pass rush win rate, despite having guys like Trayvon Walker, despite having Josh Hines-Allen, they still couldn't get it done. And so I think that it's going to start with the Panthers' pass game. They drafted a top 10 receiver for a reason, Tyrone McMillan, T-Mac. I think he's going to be force-fed. He's going to be looked at as the premium target, especially with Adam Thielen not there, with Jalen Coker on IR, and with Hunter Renfrow being the slot guy who hasn't played football in a while. I think they're going to look to target T-Mac a lot. I think that's the first key, especially against a pretty poor secondary. I know they added Jordan Lewis, but that doesn't inspire a ton of hope for me if I'm a Jags fan. I think the other thing is the run game, too. They were a better run defense. They weren't a great one. And I think that with a more diverse running game in regards to the people you have back there, it's not just going to be the Chuba Hubbard show. Rico Dowdle can catch passes out of the backfield and run out of the backfield. We saw how explosive Trevor Etienne was in the preseason in the final two games, Travis Etienne's little brother. I think the offense is going to be more diversified. Then you have the defense, which we're hoping, right? We have, seven new starters on that defense. We're hoping that it has to be better. And it's going to start with the defensive front. You bring in Tariq Wharton, Bobby Brown. A'shaun Robinson had a career year last year toward the end of the year. And you're getting Derek Brown back, which is basically a free agent get. That front stopping the run is going to be critical because what does Liam Cohen like to do the most? Run the ball in creative ways. And while they don't have the horses as far as an offensive line or running backs go like Cohen had in Tampa Bay, I think he's going to make some stuff shake. And so I think the main key is going to be our defense containing the run early and often and making Trevor Lawrence make the decisions, because historically, even though he has his highs and like his good moments, he thinks he has to win the game on every single play. And that can lead to a lot of mistakes.
It can lead to a lot of mistakes, but I think that was the reason why you inject Liam Cohen is a short, quick passing game that doesn't mean he has to go out and win it every snap. And we'll see if that translates. It may take several weeks to get there, but I also think the reads and how the offense is going to be structured is going to be filtered in such a way that it makes sense and it's easy to digest. I want to go point by point with everything you said. So I 100% agree that if we want to have success and we want to win week one, T-Mac has got to be a big part of that. And you brought up a lot of corners, but their physical guy on the outside that I think it's John Shipley is their one beat report writer. Yeah. When he's been healthy, he is a very physical corner on the outside. And so
Tyson Campbell, you're referring to?
Yeah, Tyson Campbell. And so his ability to play press man, that was one thing T-Mac struggled with in college. It was one thing that as soon as he got to the Panthers, that they had J.C. Horn do to him almost every rep. And so we're going to see if he has developed, if he's gotten past that, because I think that is going to be their key in stopping T-Mac is can Tyson Campbell play physical at the line of scrimmage with T-Mac and make his life difficult. Then when you go to the run game, I think we have to lean into it, especially with Damian Lewis back. You look at the interior, you look at still Taylor Moten on that right-hand side. You bring in, and I was talking to a few friends yesterday, but I think really when you look at the replacement for Ikem Ekwonu, it should be Josh Nyman. And we saw what Josh Nyman did in replacement of Zach Tom a couple years ago against the Dallas Cowboys. He held his own against Micah Parsons. I think he could do the same on the left-hand side. You should bring in, though, Brady Christensen and run some jumbo personnel looks and just run the ball down their throat, because Trayvon Walker, he is sound fundamentally. Josh Hines-Allen isn't necessarily a bad player. Eric Armstead, if he's on the field and he's healthy, he's good. But they haven't played cohesively enough, and they haven't stopped the run effectively enough to where you could really lean into that. And like you said, then test the outside, test maybe the middle of the field, and test some of these other corners. And I think the another key that we haven't really talked about is like a guy like Xavier Leggett or JT Sanders, they have to step up. Because they're going to have the second or third best cover guy on them because of T-Mac being in the rotation. So another thing to keep in mind of, and then, yeah, you go to the defensive side of the ball. I think we have the ability to stop the run. But my concern, and I want to make sure this is not the case against the Jaguars, I watched the Houston Texans offensive line, which are full of a bunch of people that most people are not necessarily super hype on or super high on. We're pushing our starters several yards and getting depth for Nick Chubb, their running back. We're picking up 5 yards a carry. If that happens on Sunday, we're going to have a conversation. Fingers crossed. It was just the preseason. We weren't employing kind of like some of the gap control, gap scheme stuff we need to. But that push has me concerned. And if the Jaguars are able to do that to this defensive line, this is going to be a very long day. Remember the last time this Panthers defense played a Liam Cohen offense, they dropped over 45 points on us. Granted, Baker Mayfield, Tristan Wirfs, Mike Evans, but the point remains this offense, or the offense, the mastermind behind it, knows what to do to score points on this offense defense.
And we haven't even talked about probably the most interesting piece for the Jaguars, and that's Travis Hunter, number 2 overall pick, who they traded up to select. He's probably going to be a receiver for most of the game. I can't imagine that they run him more than like 10 plays at corner when they have dime packages and stuff like that, mostly because you don't want to overwork him. Also, T-Mac kind of fried him the last time that they matched up, so there's some familiarity there. But Liam Cohen, coming from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, he had Chris Evans, he had Mike Evans, Chris Godwin for about half the season, and they were lighting the world on fire during those, I think it was 8 games before Godwin went out. So now he has 2 different receivers, but 2 younger, probably more explosive receivers that our defense is going to have to contain. That's why I think stopping the run is going to be so important, because it's going to give the defense more favorable pass defensive looks. That's kind of what I'm looking at there. I do have concerns with the offensive line. Like you mentioned, Damian Lewis is back. Rob Hunt had like a foot thing at practice the other day. He's practicing today, so hopefully he's good to go. But then Ike Ekwonu, I think, will be a big loss. Hopefully a combination of Yosh Nijman, Brady Christensen, and maybe bringing one of the tight ends in as a like an XT on that side can help. You brought up spamming running the ball. It reminded me of the Steve Wilkes, like the Arby's We Got the Meats package, where they had like 8 offensive linemen, a fullback, and it was just Sam Darnold and Chuba Hubbard. Maybe we can lean into some of that early and get the DBs tired and give T-Mac a better advantage. What is going to be your prediction for this game as we get toward the end and get into perfect takes? Because my take involves my prediction.
I have to lean, as somebody that has analytics in their Twitter profile name, I have to lean with what my head's saying and not my heart. And my heart wants to believe that everything we've done as an organization this offseason is going to put us in a situation where we're going to take a step this year. But there's a difference between taking a step and looking like a playoff team and taking a step towards being a playoff team. And I think that jump is very similar to what we saw in 2012. I mean, Ryan Khalil took out an ad in the paper and said, we're going to be a playoff team. And we stumbled into a 7-9 disappointing season. And obviously we go 12-4 the next year, sets up what would be a Super Bowl run a couple of years after that. But that's where I think this team is. And so with the injury to Ike Ekwonu, with some of the concerns on both sides of the ball, I think the Jaguars, because of Brian Thomas Jr. and Travis Hunter and how explosive they are, they're going to find answers enough to win this game to where it's going to look like, I think, like a 23-17 game. I don't think it's necessarily going to be super high scoring, because I think there are going to be mistakes on both sides. I think there are going to be fumbles and interceptions and just mishaps as teams are transitioning from the offseason to the regular season. And both of these quarterbacks have had a history of mishaps. So I'm not expecting perfection right out of the gate, but I am expecting some big plays on both sides. And I think the Jaguars just find a few more of them.
So you had a good line there at the beginning, using your head over your heart. I'm going to lean into that here as I get into my take. One of the key, we'll call it issues with first-time head coaches is the immense load they have to take on with everything in the game. First-time head coaches just rarely win their first starts. Ironically, last year when Dave Canales was in his first start, we got dog walked in. What's there? Caesar's Dome? Is that what the Saints?
We were on the road. The Jags are at home, so I'll give them that.
Yes, but the Saints were a much more prepared team. They've been there before. Dennis Allen was a head coach before. I think there's going to be issues there. The other thing with Liam Cohen was he was kind of blessed to fall into an offense that had most or all of the pieces together last year. Yes, Tristan Wirfs moved from the right side to the left side, but they drafted a center in the first round who was phenomenal. Wirfs instantly became one of the better better tackles in the league. And he was fortunate enough to have a stable of running backs that were all pretty talented in their own right, as well as having Mr. 1000, Mike Evans. I think Baker Mayfield's a much better player than Trevor Lawrence is at this point. And so my take is going to be alongside with my prediction. First I'll say what my prediction is. It's going to be a 24-23 victory. And do you know why I selected those numbers in particular?
Isn't that what the 2023 game, or not 2023, 2003 game ended?
That is exactly how the 2003 game ended. There were a couple of opportunities where we scored touchdowns to go up and we missed 2-point conversions each time. And Jacksonville had a 55-yard field goal set up to win, and it got blocked. And so we won 24-23. I think history will repeat itself. All of your Super Bowl hopes, like the whole graphic, Ohio State winning the Natty the year before, the jersey patch, J-Lo getting divorced, like every graphic lining up, it's going to come true, and the Panthers will win their first home game for the first game of the season, for the first time since Matt Rhule's second season, I believe, when we went 3-0 to start the year. So that's the take. The Panthers repeat history 22 years later and win 24-23.
Okay. I mean, I'm saying 23-17. So, I mean, there's a possibility within that realm that the Panthers find a way to score another touchdown. It's going to be an interesting game. We haven't seen this team in almost a year. Like you're talking about, like, almost 9 months at this point. And it'll be interesting to see. The one thing I will say is Tristan Wirfs played left tackle for Dave Canales and Liam Cohen. While Baker Mayfield, his first year, was with Dave Canales, the offense looked a lot better and a lot cleaner, I think, with Liam Cohen. So if I'm going to give a nod to an offensive game plan, despite Cohen's preparation as a head coach and game management as a head coach, I think his offensive game plan is going to be much more superior than Dave Canales. And that's just my honest opinion about how those two design an offense. And I think that's very apparent with the output that they've had.
Well, Canales left him a revived Baker Mayfield and a good team. So I'll give him that one. Your take, was the game prediction your take, or do you have a take for this week?
Let's see. What are the games this week? See if there's anything that tickles my pickle. I'll lean into Baltimore covering. I think they're up 1.5 right now. I think they win by more than 3 at the end of the day. I think they're just too superior. Let me give you a good example. Obviously, the Bills didn't win the Super Bowl last year, but you remember what happened in 2013 week one after the Ravens won the Super Bowl?
2013 week one. If you're not anything regarding anybody other than the Panthers, I don't remember.
So it was opening weekend, and what I remember was the most odd part about it is the Ravens had just won the Super Bowl, but the Denver Broncos, who had just lost to them,
okay, now I remember,
hosted them to open the year, and Peyton Manning throws 7 touchdown passes, and they just absolutely smoke them. I think it was like 45-24, something along that range. Like, the Ravens tried to put up a fight. They tried to stay in it for as long as they could. I think that's just ultimately how it's going to play out, is I think the Ravens come out, and they just – it all clicks for them. So I if you want to look at an alternative spread, I'd say do that. But I would say whatever the current spread is, I think it's like 1.5 in favor of Baltimore. I'd take that. And that would probably be my perfect take or perfect bet, is that the Ravens win outright against the Buffalo Bills.
Well, there you go. Steve says Lamar Jackson will have at least 7 touchdowns as history repeats itself. But we'll have to check in next Tuesday to see if that comes true, to see if any of our picks or takes come true. So happy to be back in football season. It's the best time of the year. Unfortunately, we have a little heat wave this weekend, so it's not going to feel like football, but hopefully we get into the groove next week. But until then, find your favorite seat in the living room or at the bar and watch the games this weekend. Follow us on our socials, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. And for all the Panthers fans, keep pounding.